get to go to heaven someday. Excited about that, but we got things to do while we're here on earth. So let's look a little bit into that tonight. 1 Kings chapter 18. As I mentioned last week, we're going to talk about Father's Day a little bit this morning, and going to move our normal Sunday morning passage of scripture about Elijah up to here on Sunday night. 1 Kings chapter number 18. And most of us know this is the famous chapter where they have that Elijah calls down fire from heaven from Mount Carmel. So we're going to spend a few weeks here. First of all, I'm going to look at tonight about who is the real problem, and talking about Ahab making an accusation to Elijah, saying that Elijah's the one that's the problem in Israel. And Ahab turns around and says, Elijah turns around and just says, nope, you're the reason why, and here it is. And so we're going to look at that a little bit tonight, and let's go ahead and start in 1 Kings chapter number 18. We're going to read verse 1, probably go all the way through verse 18 or 19, tell the story as it goes along, and then look at this thought, who is the real problem? And it came to pass that after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. So what is it referring to, the third year? It's the third year of the drought, inside the third year that he had gone to Ahab and said it was not going to rain. He says, according to my word, but we see God's the one that's in control of all this, because God's the one telling him, look, I'm going to cause it to rain. Then he says, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So he says, I want you to go, and I want you to show thyself to Ahab. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. The drought that happened without rain or dew for those over three years, things are bad. Things are very bad. Now, it kind of gives you a different picture. He's going to meet him, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Now, Obadiah is an interesting character in the Bible. When you think about this character, Obadiah, some commentators think he is a very devout, devoted Christian. Some commentators think he's kind of half and half because of the fact he's working for Ahab. And we'll let you decide that for yourself. I think that Obadiah is doing something that is very commendable, and he's serving the Lord even despite his position. But you're going to see where he has some fear here when Elijah gives him something to do. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. So it's found right there in the scriptures. So we see that God commends him for his view of God. Remember, everything has this view. Who is God? What is God in your life? This morning when we looked at this idea that that man had nothing to set before his friend, he go talk to his neighbor, he knew that God was giving that comparison. If we know that God is what we have to give to others, if we view God high and lifted up, it changes everything. Our view of God changes how we act. It says, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. So this man uses his position, uses his influence, uses his resources to try to save 100 of God's prophets, because Jezebel and her wicked ways cut off the prophets. Verse number 5, and Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Preventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. First thing I want you to think about here in the story is figuring out the real problem. So Ahab, you would think that after 3 years or 3.5 years that the man of God came to him and talked to him about his wickedness, and he was showing him that it was his false prophets, as the Lord God Jehovah was the one that can control the water and that can control the rain. After 3 years, he's not turning to God. After 3 years, what is he doing? He's still searching for a way to fix the problem. Ahab is looking for relief from the famine, but not considering the true reason. And listen to this again. Ahab is looking for relief from his problem, but he's not willing to consider what the real problem is. Remember, Elijah came and said, because of your wickedness and because of your sin and because of these different things, it's not going to rain. You've been wicked. But Ahab even after 3 years, he's seen his cattle die. He's seen people die. He's seen his crops not produce. After all these 3 years, he isn't looking for Elijah so he can turn around and say, Elijah, tell me about the one true God. He's not turning to God. Instead, he sees all these problems, all these issues, and he's still looking for relief. He's still looking for ways that he can fix it. Ahab is looking for relief, not the reason. And sometimes when people are dry spiritually, they're running around trying to find water, trying to find something that's going to help them bring rain when they're the ones that really truly need God's help. There's no rain until God reigns on the throne, as one preacher put it. Now look what it says in verse number 5. He said, Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of water, to all the brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So it's a very pitiful state right now. He says, we need to find something so we don't lose everything. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went the other way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. So we see here that Elijah responds to God speaking to him, and he obeys. He goes to meet him. He runs into Obadiah. And he knew him. Talking about Obadiah, knew Elijah. I'm assuming Elijah maybe knew who Obadiah was. Fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? So he commends to him. He submits to him. He recognizes him as an authority or as a high, in a sense, a prophet that he is willing to listen to what's being said. In verse number 9:8, he says, and answered, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Kind of interesting. He says, my Lord Elijah. Elijah responds back, says, look, go talk to your real boss. Go talk to the Lord, you know, Ahab. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Now, all people struggle. We all struggle with certain things. Obadiah here is listen to what Elijah says. He's seen God work through Elijah's life, and now he's not willing to trust Elijah. He instead of moving by faith and saying, okay, Elijah, if that's what you think we should do, that's the word from God, I'm going to go ahead and do it. But instead, he begins to question him, and he begins to move and wonder what's going to happen. And he said here in verse number 9, what have I sinned? He's saying, why are you punishing me that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom, whether my Lord have not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found these not. So we see during the 3 years, they were seeking out Elijah, and they could not find him. And now sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Now, so he's afraid, and he's worried. And then he says in verse 12 what he's worried about. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. So he's explaining to Elijah, this could cause a real problem. You're telling me to go talk to the king, but what happens when the Spirit of God takes you and moves you somewhere else? Now remember when we talked about the other false gods, like Baal, the people they were worshiping. They were cruel gods. They were gods that would cause friction, issues, and problems. And it seems like Obadiah here is thinking that way. Well, what if God does this, and what if God does that? And what if, you got to have faith. If you know he has been told to do something by the man of God, he's been told to go do something, and he says, well, what about this? What about that? And God is the one that told Elijah, and Elijah spoke to Ahab. And Obadiah here tells well and starts talking about the good things he's done. He says, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Verse number 13, he begins talking about the good things he's done in the past and is currently doing. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? He says, didn't anybody tell you how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? So he has enough faith to do that, but now he doesn't have enough faith to talk to Ahab. And sometimes people think because of past things they've done, that will cause them to be able to not have to face hard things in the future. But when God works in your life and God spares the 100 and God spares the 100 through Obadiah, then the point is coming and saying, Okay, now you're ready for the next thing. Remember, Elijah's been in hiding for 3 years. God's been preparing him at the brook Cherith. He's been preparing him with the widow Zarephath. And now he is now ready to go and speak to Ahab and talk to the whole nation and call fire down from heaven. Obadiah here is saying, I don't really want to do this. Let's look in verse 14. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here and he shall slay me. And the thought there is, why didn't Obadiah bring Elijah to Ahab? That's probably what he's thinking. But instead, he listens. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. Now, so he reminds him, okay, you can trust me. He puts it up to God. Remember, the one whom I stand before, he says, I will show myself to him today. Obadiah takes that as a promise. And once again, Obadiah is just struggling with his faith a little bit. He's been dealing with a lot. And sometimes when we struggle with faith, we need to remember the promises of God and remember the things that God has talked to us about. Verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. In verse 17 and verse 18 are the two verses I like to spend a little bit of time just kind of working at and looking at a little bit tonight. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's house. Jezebel's table. You're thinking, okay, why doesn't Ahab just take out his sword and go ahead and kill Elijah? It hasn't rained. He wants the water back. Why in the world would Ahab allow 850 of those other guys go up and do this and make a spectacle? Ahab needs it to rain. So Ahab knows that somehow this guy, who he thinks is a lunatic, has some type of control over the rain. So because of that, he needs to listen to what's being said. But the focus I want you to look in verse number 17, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And then Elijah's response, I have not troubled Israel, but thou. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, when we look at this passage of Scripture, help us to learn and grow. I know as I've been reading through this passage, Lord, this is something that you want us to talk about and want us to consider. And Lord, I believe inside our own hearts and inside our own lives, there's probably many things that we struggle with, and it's very easy to blame somebody else. But God, I pray that you speak to our hearts to look deep inside, to see the issues that we have allowed to happen, those things that maybe we have done to cause trouble in Israel or in our own homes, at our own workplaces, and inside our churches. Lord, work in our hearts and lives tonight. Help us to take a deep look and say, I want to be right with God, and I want to do what he wants me to do. Lord, help us not to be the one that's struggling, but instead, the one that's living according to your plan and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned in my prayer, when I've been reading, usually when I go through what I'm speaking on passages of Scripture, my intention and my plan, doesn't always happen, is to read every day through a portion of it to make sure I keep a track of it. And I've come to this spot on more than one occasion. Even on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights when we talked a little bit about Elijah, we talked about this, how Ahab is looking at Elijah and he is blaming Elijah for the problem. Isn't that the way the world is today? It's the liberal that says that the fundamentalist is the problem. It's the Democrat that's saying the Republican's the problem. It's the Republican saying it's the Democrat's fault. It's the brother saying it's the other brother's fault. It's the sister saying the other sister's fault. It's the husband saying it's his wife's problem. She's the problem in the house. It's the wife saying that the husband's the problem in the house. But tonight, all that blaming, I wonder how much it really helps. Instead, I think it's important that we look deep inside and say, make sure I'm not the one troubling my circumstances or my influences. You think about it. Ahab here has done wickedly. He has done, as we've read and studied, he has gone farther than anybody else has. God has spoken to his heart by sending his prophet and saying, for this many years it's not going to rain, and it is a sign showing you your wickedness. But instead, he puts his head in the sand. He's looking for Elijah. He's looking for the issue. He's looking for the problem because he does not want to look at himself as the issue. He does not want to look at himself as the problem. Instead, he wants to blame everything else and everyone else. He's there, and he's been looking for Elijah for the last 3 years, and we don't know why he's looking for Elijah except to try to get Elijah to rain, get it to rain. And I'm thinking, as a king, he's not going to treat Elijah very well, but he's seeking it, and he has cast all his blame on someone else. He is looking for relief from the issue, but the true issue is himself. And Elijah, who does not mince words, stands up and speaks very boldly. And he says, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. So there's a couple things that makes us the one that troubles the house. There's a couple things that makes us the one that's troubling the house. The first thing I want you to think about is those that forsake the commandments of the Lord. Those that forsake the commandments of the Lord. If you're looking for someone to cast blame on, if you're looking for someone to say, hey, they're the issue, they're the problem, don't be judging others, but instead, are you the one that has left the commandment of the Lord? Are you obeying God's word? You think about what it says in Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It's talking about those that are not stirring up troubles, those that are not blaming others, but those that are trying to cause peace in the lives of others. I also think about different spots in the Bible where people blamed others. You think about Joseph. What did his brothers do? His brothers hated him. They couldn't speak peacefully. And they really thought that Joseph was the problem. They felt comfortable, no problem throwing him in a pit and selling him into slavery. And it wasn't until years later that they finally got their hearts right and finally revealed it to their dad. They said, Joseph, that dreamer, he's the problem. He's the issue. He's what's wrong with this family. But it wasn't Joseph that was wrong. I think about Adam and Eve, and the Bible says, and the man said, the woman whom thou hast gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree. When the devil or the serpent had gone and tricked Eve, it was this idea that, you know, God came in the cool of the evening and said, what's going on? Who told you that thou was naked? And he blames Eve. He says, she gave me the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all beasts of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and it shall bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall have rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Hey, Pastor, what are you getting at? All of them did something wrong. All of them had something they needed to work on. And I'm not saying that any specific person is the problem inside your home. What I'm saying is tonight, why don't we ask God to show us if we're the one that's troubling, if we're the ones that's causing the issue, if we're the ones that are causing the problem here in this story. So not only is it those who have forsaken the commandments of God, but also it's those that have put something in the place of God. I think that most of us would say there's no commandments out there. I'm not going out there, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. I'm not doing any of those things. I'm trying to obey the Lord. But is there something that we have put in the place of God? Is there something that we have put an idol? I know they use the word Balaam there, and they use Baal, and I don't think any of you guys are going home and bowing down to some stone figure that represents Baal. I would think that was foolishness. But there's many times in people's lives when they have taken their eyes off the Lord and put their eyes on something else. They've put and raised something else in the place of God in their lives, and they're focusing on that instead of focusing on the Lord. And that can trouble a house. That can trouble a life. That can trouble even a church. If it's when we take our focus off of what God wants us to do, it troubles a nation. When people have taken their eyes and their focus off of God and they begin blaming other things. Think about some of these words that the Bible says are troublers. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17. The merciful man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. A person that is cruel will trouble their own flesh. A more familiar verse is probably found in Proverbs 15, 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. So what the Bible is saying there, if you're a greedy person, you're going to trouble your house. If you're a cruel person, you're going to trouble your own soul and your own life. Romans 16, 17 says, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which they have learned, and avoid them. Matthew 5, 9 says, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And let's always remember what the basic problem is. We need to reevaluate the conflict, and we need to reconsider the person we're fighting with. The Bible says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual battle, and it's a spiritual fight. So when we're considering those that are being troubling to inside homes and inside of America, we need to realize that we're not battling and fighting with them. My battle is not with another individual. My battle is on a spiritual plane that I can be mighty through God, but the pulling down of strongholds, and I can say, look, this is a spiritual battle, and the greatest thing I can do is I can pray. I can listen to the word of God. I can get closer to God and allow God to lead and guide me. Mark, keep your place here, but look in Matthew chapter number 7. I thought I had it written down here, but I do not see it. Matthew chapter number 7 is something that I think is misunderstood sometimes, but I think it would be appropriate for this passage of Scripture. In Matthew chapter number 7, it talks about judging someone else. Once again, this is what Obadiah is, Ahab is saying about Elijah. You're the one that's a troublemaker. It says, chapter 7, verse number 1, Judge not, that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now look at this. It says, Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, referring to a very small piece, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Talking about something that is large. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. You say, Pastor, what are you saying about this? I'm saying, before we go around judging other people and saying, you're the problem, and you're the problem. We must first make sure that we're right. We must first make sure that we've done everything we can and get as close to God as we can. And as we're getting close to God, begin to seek Him to make us sure that we're clean and let God work in our hearts and lives. The Bible says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I know so many people that are like Ahab. They're trying to find relief for the problems they're having without looking at the reason why they're having the problem. And I'm encouraging you tonight not to say, Pastor, I'm the whole blame. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying for you to go home and say, you're the problem in this house to your family. What I'm encouraging you tonight is to get close with the Lord and spend some time saying, God, I want you to look deep inside. If I'm doing something to trouble my home, my workplace, my church, my country, I want you to show me. I want you to take this beam that is out of my eye so I can see more clearly on how I can help somebody else. But so often, we love blaming everybody else and we love causing the problems. This is what's wrong and this is the problem. I do it sometimes. I know you all think I'm perfect, but I do it sometimes. And of course, you laugh at that. You don't laugh at the other jokes, but you laugh at that. Sometimes you're with the issue. You're the reason. Well, in all reality, it's a spiritual battle. And sometimes we're influenced by the devil. Sometimes even good people have been influenced by the devil. Remember what Peter, when he started mouthing off to Christ, what did he say to Peter? He says, Get thee behind me, Satan. He was saying Peter at that moment in time was acting as Satan's mouthpiece. Satan was influencing him. He was saying what Satan wanted to say. Now, obviously, Peter was not Satan. We know that. But he was allowing Satan to influence his thoughts. So it's a spiritual battle. You think about Ananias and Sapphira. You know, the Satan had convinced their heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. I think Ananias and Sapphira were Christians. I think they had just listened to the thought inclination of the devil, and it cost them their lives. You say, Pastor, are you getting that? I'm telling you that we need to look into our own hearts and look into our own lives before we start judging other people. Elijah here can boldly say, after 3 years of being trained by the Lord, he can look at wicked Ahab and say, you are the problem in this country. And it's because you have left the commandments of God and you have replaced God with an idol. I want to encourage you tonight. We all have problems. We all have issues. We all have things that we deal with. And I'm not saying that we're the greater cause or we're the greater problem in these lives. But I'm also saying, let's make sure our hearts are right with the Lord. The Bible says, blessed are those that keep peace. It doesn't say that. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Are you a peacemaker? Are you someone that seeks peace and searches for it and tries to produce it as God allows you to? He says, art thou he that troubleth Israel? I listen to the news sometimes, and I hear politicians saying, if they would just change, everything would be okay. And the other side, if they would just change everything. In all reality, most of them are all need to change. Most of them all need to become God-fearing individuals, and they both have problems on both sides. Obviously, there's some different things that we would think, oh, that's better than that one. It's like the lesser of two evils. But usually the problem is we can all do some work. We can all learn and grow. So spend some time with the Lord. Get close to him. And ask him, Lord, am I troubling my house? Am I the reason why we're not growing? Am I the reason why we're not as close as we should be? And if he reveals something to you, repent of it. So, Lord, what about my husband? What about my wife? What about my kids, my grandkids? The Lord can remove that beam out of your own eye and then show you how you can help in other areas with other people's lives. First and foremost, we need to get rid of the things in our own lives and put him first. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation tonight.